Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Hello, this is William Hofsink with CJSF 90.1 FM. That's William Hofsink at CJSF 90.1 FM. And today I am with...
I'm Elijah Ra, a musician and writer.
Yes, and we've been in regular contact, actually, over the last year or so through the forums on Rate Your Music. Actually kind of attribute your influence into, well, I already had like some fascination with avant-garde music, but that's definitely your like bread and butter. And from your work, which maybe you could describe a little bit, like kind of like that is your goal, to create very transgressive art in a certain sense. Like, what kind of like brought you to that point?
Well, I think, you know, I don't, at least at this point, don't want to talk too much about my personal life, but I do think that brokenness, I think, is like a big part of being human, you know, in the way that, you know, I was always thinking, you know, I have to curb how many times I mentioned consciousness, because I was just thinking about how often, like, it's kind of like that's like the main obsession. I was almost thinking like how Zack Snyder in one of his Batman versus Superman interviews just couldn't stop saying mythology. But you know, as I do think, like, there's a reason that Christianity, with its idea of the apple, you know, and some original sin that we have, because you know, as people who recognize that we die, you know, there is a sort of recognition that the way we propagate our species is by dooming people. Like, every birth is sort of a sort of doom that we have, because, you know, we have to continue our species, but to continue our species, we create more people who die. And so our very concept of life is, there's sort of a brokenness to this very concept of life, because we are, as conscious beings, we can recognize and at least begin to wrap our heads around what is the consequence of our own propagation.
Yeah, so it's like the idea I'm kind of getting from you is that as the only way basically to get closer to God, even if we search for perfection in the physical realm, is through like the demise, the departure from that world. Am I making sense? I've seen a lot of like reference to Gnosticism. I've seen reference to Christianity in your writings, and I believe you've spoken out as being kind of like an atheist. But am I right to assume that like Christianity and religion in general has played like a major role in your life?
Yeah, I did grow up religious. I used to like have this sort of angst because I didn't want to live forever. You know, there's this sort of dilemma where you can't choose when you die. So you either believe you choose. So there's really two main beliefs. You either you die and there's nothing after, or you can't escape life. Like, those are the main two beliefs about around death. So, you know, there's this sort of anguish around how long do you want to live. And, you know, we live in bodies that age. So there's always been this question of, you know, when the best way would be to, you know, you get to choose how long you live. You know, you could say, or you get to say, all right, I've done everything I want to now. But, you know, that's kind of the thing. I'm aware that there's no real choice in that matter.
Like, another thing I've kind of gathered too, reading your writing, listening to your music, and also even just seeing your music taste. Like, I know the Lamb's Effigy is a major, like, major important album for you. I love it myself, maybe not as much as you do, but the key, a lot of your work, a lot of like the work that you seem to gravitate towards, it searches for meaning through like fame and through I think physical excess. Like you're obviously a massive Bataille enthusiast, and I've only begun really to research his work myself, but from my understanding of the Accursed Share, a lot of that is to do with like making do with making do with excess quantity in life, and kind of like finding enlightenment through excess. If I'm oversimplifying, forgive me, but
yeah, that's the core of it. So, you know, everything we do is we sort of live in excess, and I think to some extent excess breeds absurdity. And I think, like, you know, I'm also people like I just sometimes can come across as serious online, but you know, I do love like meme culture, because there's this excess, there's this almost like in schizophrenized quality to it, and because it sort of embraces both this excess of life and understands in some sense its absurdity, and that this absurdity comes because from excess. We don't understand, you know, consciousness is an excess. It's, you know, we have the core is that, you know, we luxury is everything that we don't need to survive, and that is sort of the defining feature of consciousness. And so absurdity is sort of the excess, this confrontation with excess, you know, excess desire, a search for meaning. And when we confront things that go against it, or, you know, we were confronted with some sense of absurdity.
Yeah. And like, so for you, again, I'm kind of maybe kind of getting ahead of myself, but the degenerate art that is modern shit post culture, because that is really what it is. I mean, even if we're seeing today, like following the assassination of President Trump, like so much of the art I've seen in reaction to it is kind of like trying to bring out the absurdity of living under his presidency, of again living in modern Western civilization, and kind of the depression that brings, kind of like that how we as a society, like, we've kind of lost a sense of community, a sense of like a sense of meaning beyond like what we create for ourselves, and we can reflect, we can kind of like create new meaning through like the most kind of asinine of ways, like these, am I making sense? Like you're
yeah.
you're obviously, like, I should preface, like, maybe I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I know you have mentioned it's probably your most well-known like series of works.
Yes. Are you talking about Goofy Avant-Garde?
Yes.
Okay. That was made kind of randomly. So but like, you know, I was using Swan samples, and Swans is like, it's about like the capitalist and impoverished hellscape of New York.
Mm.
And, you know, I never really had like a clear vision of what I was doing until I like involved lyrics. But I think there is this sort of, you know, even if we're not personally impoverished, we're impoverishedness is a quality of like the psyche, and it's a quality that we are constantly exposed to online. Like, we see war or like insane people online, like these insane people online, like with like very out there beliefs. Like, I remember one time someone was like, Kyle Rittenhouse was ordained by God. And I was like, this is the most insane thing I've ever read. Yeah, it was, and you know, we're exposed to stuff like that. And, you know, people, a lot of people were memeing on it, but, you know, we're exposed to this sense of the absurd and we're live, and you know, I'm up, I'm kind of almost in like a Zoomer way updating what was put out in Swan's works. Like, I never really thought much about it when I first made it. Like, it took me like 30 minutes minus like clipping samples and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it took like an hour total with like finding samples and stuff. But, you know, I feel like with like more recent works and putting together lyrics, I'm able to like find more what I was trying to do.
I can understand that. And I think, again, speaking of like inspirations, you've definitely spoken at length of like Swans is your favorite band. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, like, I've only really been getting into their catalog this year, and I kind of had like this sort of contrarianism about it. Like, it's like, they can't be that good, or they can't be that, like there has to be some sort of catch here. Cause I know I've kind of been burned with some of like the online canon, like, the Glow Part 2 didn't really connect with me, but that was a very different place for me. And similarly, more recently was In the Aeroplane Over the Sea. Like, I definitely understand why that one has affected so many people, but it just, I don't know, there's something about it. But with Swans, like, not every project has connected in some way, but their best work, which I think my trifecta at this point has got to be To Be Kind, The Seer, and I'd say Filth, maybe. And you on that talk, do you have like a soft spot for the very like indignant, like the sludgy no wave
ones? Yeah, like the no wave period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you tell me like a little bit about like kind of what drew you in there beyond maybe what we've discussed here? Because I know it's kind of like talking about the excess, the how it kind of like, I don't know, maybe I haven't been in the best headspace as of late, and there's something that really like I gravitate towards especially in Filth, like the kind of like shining a light on some of the more debauched parts of industrial society. Like it kind of makes me feel seen in that. So maybe sometimes like when I go down a dark rabbit hole, like I can, I don't know, like I'm not crazy in some way. And mm-hmm. it kind of reminded me a bit of when I watched Happiness for the first time last night, like kind of like seeing a portrait of the debauched portrait of the, I think, the darkest parts of humanity. Like it, I don't know, there was something compelling. Like I felt like I was like kind of my visions when I get into a depression and I get into like a tunnel, like there's some truth. Am I making sense? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, what is it for you? Because I don't mean to just monopolize here. I'm curious.
Yeah. Okay. So I really like when like music, there is like something I think really appealing about ugly sort of music. Like, I think in one way or another, people like watching car crashes, maybe not literally, but like whatever neuroses they have, they want to watch that car crash in some sense. And I think people use car crashes because cars are, you know, I'm digressing a little, but cars are kind of scary. Like, you know, and they're this representation of speed in our society, of a society that's not really made for us, but for cars. You know, they're called, mm-hmm. a lot of times they're called the dominant species on this planet. And, you know, sometimes people like, you know, there's like, it's kind of hard to be perceived and know people are perceptions of you. So a lot of people, their car crashes reality TV. And, you know, because, and and while I think it is kind of lowbrow, I think, you know, there is a real deep fear that is worth investigating in this, you know, social neuroses. And I think that, you know, this idea of control over, you know, that industrialized society kind of strips away from you is very much in Swan's early period, and they understand the ugliness of it. Like, another thing is, you know, I like a lot of queer art, and I'm not personally in that realm, but I feel like, you know, there's this identity, there's this idea of reproductive futurity that society wants, that queerness kind of, its identity goes against society for its rejection of
what is established
through reproduction. And as someone, you know, like I can't see myself in a normal job. I am alienated from the dominant system of production. Just, and like, I don't see life like that as good or worth it. So there's always been this, in my own way, a rejection, an alienation from dominant society and its ideas of the future.
Yeah, because like, forgive me, I really enjoyed what I have read of your like short story collection. I haven't purchased it myself. I am actually considering it because that one, Billy Barry Block, I believe.
Yeah.
It also kind of touches on, and again, not to just double back or anything, but I think this is important to address. Like, it doubles on, I mean, it focuses on the theme of like fame as a way out of the monotony of life, of the kind of the mm-hmm. drudgery, kind of like the alienation. And I'm kind of wondering, like, again, if it's too personal, then feel free to like change the subject. But like, what kind of like got you to that mindset, like, of fame being like one of like the most, I think, or fame, artistic fame in particular, being like one of the best means to like survive life, so to speak. Well,
I've always wanted sort of to be important because I never felt. Like in school, you know, I didn't have the same sort of intellectual air that I try to put on and prove myself as competent now. But, you know, like there was, you know, people got to know me would say, oh, I'm smart. But like people, a lot of them would like, they just flat out call me stupid to my face. And so, you know, I had felt this need to prove my worth. Prove that I'm competent and knowledgeable. And, you know, I think personal stuff I won't go into, you know, I felt a need to understand, you know, and so my main focus has been transgression, excess, hurt, brokenness. That's a huge part of my short stories. And so, you know, the combination of some experiences, that's what sort of drove me to this fixation
on that topic a little bit further. Again, you're very fixated on the avant-garde, on the transgressive, on that which pushes against societal expectations. And when you've spoken to about like how you put on this layer of intellectualism, which I do think is well founded. Like, I've spoken, you're very well read, and I think that's that'd be apparent like during this interview. But having that kind of like an intellectualism, just juxtaposing it with what you say is like alienation from the main industrial society, like the mainstream, like education. I'm thinking like. Do you think that there could be ways in the future for like more transgressive artists or maybe even people like I definitely relate to being someone who maybe isn't like the most traditionally accomplished in like the mainstream academic world, but like has a thirst for knowledge, likes to would have people who would say that they are intelligent mm-hmm. in certain ways. Like, do you think there's a way to kind of like merge that and I think success in more success in like mainstream academia, mainstream art? Like,
I think that there's this, you know, people have been exposed to abstract art within academia and criticism, but a lot of people still kind of think there's still plenty of people who think that craft or real or like a display of skill is the most important thing in art. And I think some people are scared to discover something deeper about themselves through any sort of abstraction or outsider pieces, which is why I think part of it is that it's super easy to get like a certain art style that you need. But I think there is another piece, more psychological piece to AI art. Like I switched my major recently to art, or I'm going to art history. And I wanted to, to allow people to understand art and to gain some sort of acceptance. Well, it's outsider by nature, but to have people understand it. after I'm done with college, I've wanted to curate outsider art, maybe even teach people about it, why it might be something they want to do. Because, you know, as long as you have some sort of aesthetic sense and something you want to convey, you can just pick up a pencil and draw. But you can learn as far as you want, or you can not learn at all and just pick it up and put down whatever you feel or whatever you think and put it in a way that's visual.
You're like, I don't know if this kind of rings true for you, but I know in my past experience, especially in the mainstream education system, there's this really honestly kind of like distressing need to quantify creativity or like to objectively measure creativity. I think it's more apparent in like younger grades or like more form, but those formative experiences when you give a child like a pencil, or you give a child like any way to create art, and you tell them that their artwork is creative because creative or not because it matches like certain criteria. Even sometimes like what I've read, and I might just be speaking off the top of my head here, but it's like people are judged as being less creative simply because they refuse to follow like the guidelines of what accounts for creativity, and that just does not make sense to me. Like I'm just inherently like I'm just a very logical person in nature, and I think this might also have to do with growing up neurodiverse, and because I've read a lot on how like children, especially on the autism spectrum, they are classed as they might like you're a big like Big Five inventory personality psychology nerd yourself too. So like they might be based on stereotypes classed as having like lower openness, and this might even not even just apply to like that situation, but like anybody with like sort of a different neurotype in some way, when actually given like tests, like given being told to like account or like recount like vivid information or like their own experiences in like a creative and outside the box way, like they would actually score higher on openness inventories. And I don't know, there's something in me that kind of like pushes against the idea of trying to quantify creativity. Cause I know, yeah, certain pieces of art can be very derivative, and that is a huge sticking point, especially with music for me. Like I really don't like it when, I really don't connect with art when it sounds so identifiably like something else or something that has been done before. And I know talking with you, that's definitely like a sticking point as well, but I'm thinking like, do you think creativity can be like quantified in some way? And if so, like, I'm curious.
I don't know. Like I used to be like a science guy, not really anymore. Why? It's kind of a long story. I can't really get into, but you know, as someone who's more into psychoanalysis as opposed to psychology, you know, or as opposed to like more clinical psychology, this might be a little disappointing, but I've never thought about like how you quantify creativity. Like I know that you can, but like this, I do have something, you know, there's always this question, is someone not creative or have they just not found what they can do with it? Like I think there are genetic factors, like, or you know, you're born with predispositions and features, but again, that's why I like outsider art, because you know, people think it's about technical skill, but maybe they find something in them to express if they just were to pick up a pencil, or at least be convinced, you know, and that's something I want to do, convince people to do that.
Any like particular, like, I mean, it's such a wide net too and it even doubles back already from like the topic we were discussing on like using meme culture, using like the almost like the Zoomer inclination to find humor in like the distressing, in the absurd, which I mean, it's not just a Zoomer thing, but I mean like on the topic of like memes too, like memes in that sense, they can be considered like outsider art in some way, and so that just completely like expands the net. But any particular like outsider art practitioners that really kind of like stoke your fire in that way, I'm just kind of curious there too, like any names in particular, any like movements more so, like.
Hold on. I have a list of artists that like I like to study their like just go back and look at their stuff. I have a list. It'll give me like a second. Yuko Tatsushima was a big one. I mean, there is a little bit of more technical skill than I'm at a level I can replicate, but you know, it's very grotesque and very, but also in that grotesqueness is sort of where the honesty comes from. And there's something, the reason why I like art is because you can't, do you understand? It's like the concept of grass. You can explain grass or green. You can show someone who's never seen green before, let's say suddenly they can see color. You show them green. They don't really understand green. You can say, what is green? You can show them pictures. Here's grass. Here's a shirt, but they don't really understand green until they understand what is so great about going to a forest or somewhere in nature, or their favorite green shirt or something of that sort. And I think that is what draws me to art. And you know, you can just feel that. I guess feeling that sense of grotesqueness. There's a lot of I guess. Well, her work in particular is a lot about abuse, and that is a subject that people kind of have. You can pull up as many statistics about it to understand it, but it's something that you have to feel, I think, or not experience personally, but you have to be able to feel some sense of that grotesqueness, that powerlessness, in order to be able to understand it.
Like it's a difference from being able to, I think, construe your own meaning, like from the observation of the art piece. And I think that's something like I really struggle with when I'm trying to consume media, when I'm trying to observe and identify artwork, is I get so hung up on looking for my own personal meaning, like based like on my experiences, on kind of like the symbology that has colored my life, and I kind of lose sight. I could lose sight maybe of what is their at face value, or what the person what their experiences might be. I mean, I know that Death of the Author has existed as kind of like a, not even just a concept, but as a warning to creatives since the mid 20th century, if I'm not mistaken. Probably, I mean, we've probably conceptualized far further than that, but further away than that. But like, I mean, is that something that kind of weighs heavily on you, like your work, its intentions not being as construed the way that you want, or is it something that you're more like you encourage more of?
I think, you know, interpretation is a big part of art, and you know, I think there's definitely more than there are definitely. I don't know how to quantify the validity of a interpretation. I think there are definitely ones you can look at and say, this person, I have no idea how they came to that conclusion, or this person is misreading it to some extent. Like if you say those people who misunderstand Fight Club, there's just, I don't, it's not even logical. It's just a, like, it's just revulsion. Like, no, it's not pro Tyler Durden, you know?
Or I mean, this is gonna sound really embarrassing. Like I've read some Palahniuk, like I loved Haunted, but I have not seen Fight Club. I know the premise, so and then obviously, like I understand your viewpoint, but I think my frame of reference too would be like Taxi Driver. Like it's very similar. Like these characters that are almost have created like this ironic people have created this ironic fandom behind. Like I know you're a big monster fan too. Like Johann Liebert is kind of another figure in that debate of the characters that represent kind of like the underbelly, the dregs of society, like we've talked of before, and yet people kind of embrace them as these like ironic messiahs.